Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 13. We are seeing what the beast is all about. We're having him unveiled. He's revealed. He's no longer a mystery. The clues, everything that we need to know in these last days right here in the pages of our Bible. In Revelation 13, 1, it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That's who he is. And we see his description here in verse 2. Having seven heads and ten horns, upon his horns, ten crowns, upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. It's something that I've brought up several times in this study, is that you see the transition. In Genesis chapter 1, you see that God gives man dominion over beast. At the end times, because man is so wicked, and he's turned himself away from God, he wants nothing to do with it, God then gives these beasts dominion over man. And this is what we're looking at when we look at verse 2. Aside from the fact he's got seven heads and ten horns, that's not only is that just weird, it doesn't match. How do you put ten horns on seven heads? I don't know, but it's just weird, all right? And then in verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. It means he never wore shoes. He had bare feet. Anyway. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Everything in verse 2 is all about beasts, living creatures. These are the angelic realm, and we'll see a little bit of that as we look into the description of the leopard and what the Bible says about it. Again, I've read several commentaries over the years. I've looked at this, read books on prophecy and so on, and some of the writers will take the opinion, well, this is the leopard. That's the lion is Great Britain. And the bear is, of course, Russia. And let's see, the leopard would be, oh, who could the leopard be? And they make up, I don't remember if they say it's China or it's Africa. If I was going to associate a leopard with somebody, I'd associate it with Africa and not China. But that's kind of what I've read. And I do believe in principalities over certain areas of the world. I do believe that. But let's look at, rather than guessing, well, the leopard represents so-and-so. Let's look and see what the Bible says about leopards. And something to keep in mind that the Bible actually points out to you is what leopards look like. Now, the word leopard has the word leo in it, which means lion. Leopards are of the cat family, or the large cat family. They're related to jaguars. They're related to lions. They're related to tigers. They're all of that same kind. But what is it that sets leopards apart? There's two things in the Bible that we're going to look at. The first thing is Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 6. Here's God's mentioning of a leopard, and he's describing for you, describing for those who listen what a leopard is all about. Jeremiah 5, 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them. So think of even that. We're going to look at this when we get to the part about the lion, Revelation 13. A lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. These wolves like to come in the darkness. They don't like the light shining on them. It's a good illustration there. Think of wolves in sheep's clothing. They don't like the light. That means they hate this right here. And then he said, a leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. What is it we know about lions? Even here in America, North America, we don't have lions per se, but we do have mountain lions. We have cougars. We have wildcats, bobcats, lynx. All of the families of wild cats that we have in this country. And even house cats. What do we see them do when they are hungry or when they're hunting something, even if it's just a fuzzy ball in your living room? We see them crouch down, they get real low, and God has given them eyes that can see amazing, amazing things. And those leopards and those lions and those kitty cats, they'll get down real low, and they'll just sit and watch. They won't move. God has designed them to where they can crouch down for long, long periods of time. And they'll just crouch down and they'll just watch. What are they watching for? Are they watching TV? No. Are they watching, whatever. They're not watching movies, they're not watching TV, they're not watching soap operas. They're watching and looking for the next meal. And here it says, a leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces. That leopard is waiting for someone to just step outside the safe boundaries of the city. Wham! He'll get them, all right? Because they're very fast. They're very agile. You cannot outrun a leopard or a tiger or a lynx or any of these other. You can't outrun them. But anyway, leopards are watcher animals. Keep that in mind, all right? Hosea chapter 13, verse 5. Hosea 13 is an interesting passage in the Bible because it's all about the people who would rather serve idols than serve God. And here's what God said. He said, I'm going to be unto them as a lion and as a leopard. Now I'll read the whole place here in a little bit. But something that first struck me in Hosea chapter 13 of when God said, I will be unto them as. I think that if you look at Israel right now as a people and as a religion, Orthodox Judaism, they call it Hasidic Judaism and so on. These Jews, they pretend that they're worshiping God, the one true God, but they're not, because their religion is based upon the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is good and evil belong in the same place, light and darkness, male, Yahweh and Shekinah come together for the tree of life, good and evil. That tree of life that they say is not the tree of life, it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Baal and Ashtaroth, they're still worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth. They think that they're worshiping God. They think that God has dominion over them. But the truth of it is the dragon has dominion over them. And this is what I think God's saying here. In Hosea chapter 13, verse 5, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pastures, so were they filled, and they were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Boy, isn't that true. When we get just a little bit fat, when we get just a little bit of ease and comfort in our lives, what's the first thing we do? We forget God. We think, oh, well, this life's not so bad. You know, I don't need to pray much. I don't need to read my Bible a lot. And that's the first thing we do. And so that's what he says here. Their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me. And they're worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth. Now, verse 7. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there I will I devour them like a lion, the wild beast. Revelation 13. Hosea 13 and Revelation 13 all kind of click together, all these 13s. There I will devour them like a lion, the wild beast shall tear them. And here again, we have another example. We have Jeremiah 5, 6. We have Hosea 13, verse 7, where the Bible mentions leopards as being a watching animal or a watching beast or an observing beast. They sit and they observe and they're waiting to take the prey. They're waiting to pounce upon and destroy who it is that they're watching. Now, I want you to think about, and I've used this illustration before in some of the videos and things that we've done here concerning the government and all of the corporations watching everything that we do. There are cameras in supermarkets, not just the security cameras. There are cameras on shelves at supermarkets that will use facial recognition software to know when you walk down a certain aisle, out comes a coupon for you, because they know that you're there. Every purchase you make, there's a computer database that takes that information. They know it's you that's done this particular purchase. They store it in a database. They're compiling a list of everything that they're watching you. The street cams, the stoplight cameras, cameras everywhere. Drones flying around, watching over. And the best way to watch people is not down low. You have to get up high. So this gives us the idea that this is a spiritual entity. And it's watching over the people of this world, knowing everything, they're observing their habits, observing their movements. There is a movie, Minority Report, with Tom Cruise. He loves these sci-fi movies that tend to turn out to be true. Okay, he's in one now. I haven't seen it yet, but I've got a theory about the plot line of it. It's something that I've dealt with recently, Watchmen broadcast. But anyway, Minority Report was about the government had this ability using these three people to predict crimes. And Tom Cruise was on the pre-crime division, and an alert would come up. He'd go do like this, and all this, you know, electronic stuff's on the screen, you know. And all of a sudden, he would see this crime carried out that's going to happen. He would race to this place and put some guy under arrest. You're under arrest. Why? What did I do? Well, you're going to kill your wife in about 6 minutes. We know it's going to happen. So they arrest him before he ever kills his wife. It's that ability. And the computers right now that are in this world are being trained to look at human beings, look at their facial features, and make judgments based upon what they see as to what they think they're going to do in the next 5 minutes, the next 20 minutes, the next hour, or whatever. All this goes back to 9/11. 9/11 literally was a paradigm shift to this whole world, because now all this technology comes up that says if we would have had this system in place, we would have spotted those terrorists on those planes before they ever got on the plane. That's what they're trying to sell it to you. There is a more diabolical reason why they are acting as observers to the entire world, why they want to know everything there is to know about you. There's something more evil about it other than just preventing crime, making you more healthy, making you more safe, and all this other stuff. There's a bigger reason for this, and we're going to get into that in scriptures. The idea of a watcher, and that's what this leopard is. He's a watcher. That idea and that concept in the Bible, that's a spirit, that is sort of some sort of angelic entity that has the ability to watch over things. Let me read Jeremiah 4:16. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. When we add that to Daniel chapter 4, this is the prophecy concerning Nebuchadnezzar and him becoming, having a beast heart for 7 years. I think that's a prophecy. Daniel 4:17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Watchers, all right? These are angelic creatures, angelic beings. I'm just kind of running through information. Files are being looked at right now in my brain. The movie City of Angels, where an angel falls from heaven and mates with a human woman, Genesis 6. The imagery, whoever did this movie knew what he was doing. Here you have all these angels in all these scenes in this movie of City of Angels, all dressed in black overcoats, you know, and black shirts and black pants, and I don't know where they get all that black stuff, but anyway, you see all these angels and they're just standing there. And what are they doing? They're watching. They watch everything that's going on. Okay? So you have this idea that this leopard is not just some nation, it's not some man. This is a spiritual beast who God has designed to be a watcher or an observer, and to watch over and wait for the time to strike. That's what they're looking for. Now, here's some interesting verses that talk about who it is that they're watching and why they're watching them. Psalm chapter 37, verse 32. The wicked, think of Revelation 13, he's the man of sin. The wicked watcheth the righteous. Dun, dun, dun. And seeketh to slay him. Here's this leopard, and he's watching God's people. He's waiting for the right time to swoop down and destroy. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. So there's hope and grace and promises from God's word that when the wicked are watching us, that God will not allow us to be caught in their hand. We have over us right now an accuser of the brethren. This is, I think it's the devil. And he stands before God and he says, God, I saw Mike Hogger do that. I saw him say that, or I heard him say that. I could kind of look at his thoughts. I knew what he was thinking. God, I caught him. I'm watching him and I caught him. And I think I should destroy him because he's wicked and evil. What the devil can't see is that God looks to his son and his son says, his sins have been atoned for, my father. I am the mediator between you and him, and he has prayed and asked forgiveness for all of his sins. And I just like, you know I'm making this up. God's looking at the devil going, see, you're not going to win. He's mine. You're not going to get him. I won't let you get him. I like that. I need that sometimes. Amen. But the wicked watcheth the righteous. I think, well, in history, any sort of dominion or any sort of government that has enemies to it, that government will watch to catch those enemies so they can put them down. I truly believe that, and we've already seen some of this. It's coming out in the news. The IRS in the United States, the Internal Revenue Service, has over the last several years been targeting conservative and some Christian groups, either by auditing them, wanting to know what are you spending all your money on, huh? And they're just hoping to catch them in some mistake so they can accuse them of committing a crime and say, see, they're not right. So they're either auditing them or the IRS has been caught not issuing some of these groups a tax-exempt status deliberately because they are a conservative or a Christian group. And so this is the idea that the wicked is watching over the righteous. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that's conservative in politics and finances and so on, that they are saved. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we have an example here of a government that's in place in this country that is looking to destroy its enemies. And they'll use the IRS, they'll use the NSA, they'll use FEMA, they'll use any of their powers that they have in order to destroy the people that are for sticking with the Constitution in this country, for the liberties that we have, and then some for the blood of Jesus Christ and His Word. So the wicked watcheth the righteous. Luke chapter 20, verse 19. Watch this. And the chief priests and scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. Who? Jesus. So we have the chief priests and the scribes, and they feared the people. For they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. They didn't like the Bible coming out of Jesus. They didn't like the Word of God. He's talking about us. Isn't that true? There's always, in a sermon that's being preached, there's always somebody going, well, he's preaching right at me. I don't appreciate that. I just don't like that. He's got a hard heart. He don't want his sin exposed. He's feeling guilty. So anyway, before they perceived that he had spoken this parable against him, and they watched him, sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men. They're going to pretend that they're on his side, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. They're just waiting and watching him, waiting for him to say something that they can say, aha, I gotcha now, you're a blasphemer. You said that you could build the temple in 3 days. So what'd they do? When Jesus is arrested, they had these trumped up charges against him. He said that he's God, that he can forgive sins. He said that he could do this and he could. We've got him for blasphemy. They had been waiting for this ever since Jesus showed up on the scene. They were scared to death of him. They knew, and because the people followed him, they knew to keep their hands off of him until they could catch him in something. I will tell you, and I've had to get used to this over the last few years. That because of the number of people that are watching our ministry and watching the Watchman broadcast, watching the church services and so on, I know for a fact that it's not just conspiracy theory on my part. I've seen the videos that they've made. There are people out there who hate my guts, don't like me, don't like what I say, and they sit and watch what I say. They sit and watch everything that I say and do. Why? They're hoping to catch me in some error, in some mistake. They're hoping to prove that I'm a hypocrite. They're hoping to say, "Aha, we got him. He's not who you think he is. He is, you know." I know this because they then take whatever they pulled out from there and they make videos on it. And I've had to get used to this. One person in particular, he hadn't made a video yet. He went digging through, I don't know how many YouTube videos. He watched something that was related to my family, to try to find some error that I made with my family. And I'm just going, oh my goodness. They don't like what I say. I don't know what it is. But they watch and they wait for me to say something. And I can tell you right now, I think I've tried to be totally honest and not exalt myself above anybody else in this world. I make mistakes. I say things that as soon as I say them, I'm just going, boy, I don't know if that's in the Bible or not. I better check on that. I say that 8 times a week I'm preaching like I am now. I guarantee you I'm going to make mistakes. I guarantee you I'm not going to say everything right. Are there contradictions in Mike Hoggard's life? Oh, absolutely. I'm just like Romans 7 says I am. I got a good heart. I love the Lord and I love this Bible. I don't do everything right. I don't say everything right. I know it, and God knows it, and now you know it. And so if someone's going to come after me with some contradiction they think they see in my life or something that I said, I've even seen where they will take something I said, and it's right, and they'll say, in other words, he's saying this, and I'm going, no way, I didn't say that. I don't believe that. But this is what they do. One person in particular sat for hours watching videos waiting for me to make Masonic hand gestures. Okay? That's what these people do. And I'm just telling you that there is a watch over you waiting for you to make a mistake. The devil is watching you. He's watching your life. He's watching what's going on in your life, and he's waiting for you to mess up. That's what that leopard is all about. He's waiting to get an advantage over you by the weaknesses that you have, and God knows about it. God promised to protect you, by the way. Acts chapter 9, verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. There it is. Here it is. They did it with Christ. God prophesied it in Psalm 37. The wicked watcheth the righteous, seeketh to slay him. So they did it with Christ, and they did it with Paul. They were laying await. They watched the gates. They had people sitting in the trees, in the woods, watching the gates, waiting for Paul to come out so they could kill him. They watched day and night. What spirit is that? It's the spirit of the leopard. All right? They wanted to kill him. God let Saul know that they were out there, and all of a sudden they're lowering Saul down by a basket down the side so they don't catch. God's got us. Amen? God's got us. We get fearful sometimes of things that we get caught up in, stupid stuff we did yesterday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. And God's good to his people. All right. When God forgives sins and he forgives transgressions, they're gone. As far as he's concerned, they are gone. And I've seen over and over where when people start accusing you of stuff, it's usually stuff that you didn't do. They have to make it up. They have to lie about it. Why? Because the stuff you did do, God covered it. Now, that's one nature, one aspect of the leopard. That spirit that's watching over everybody, waiting for the time to go destroy. Leopards, lions, and bobcats, and cougars, and mountain lions, and cheetahs, they don't care what family you belong to. They don't care how old or how young you are. They don't care. They absolutely don't care. They're waiting for the opportunity to tear you to pieces. That's the leopard. And it's a beast nature, and that nature will not go away. That's how they are. That's why they can't be redeemed. Now, I mentioned earlier, what is it that we note about leopards? What is it that separates them out from the lions, the cheetahs, and all of that? Spots. They have spots. And so, I'm not just making this up. The Bible says, Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Ethiopian people are black folk. Can black people just change their skin and become white people? Michael Jackson did it, but it was because he had a little disease. All right? They can't. The answer is no. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Then it says, or the leopard, his spots. No, he can't take them off. They're there. They're embedded. They're in his DNA. That leopard, is the moment he's conceived, is going to be that way. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Think about that. Let's just stop and ponder this one for a minute. Because there are people who are trying to convince you, you're saved, you must get into sinless perfection. You must never make a mistake ever, or you're really not saved like I am. I don't know who makes this doctrine up. My flesh was born and shapen in iniquity, fashioned in wickedness. Psalm 51, go read what David said about it. He said, I was born in iniquity. I'm wicked. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Romans chapter 7. Our flesh is vile, corrupt, no good, sorry, low down, hell deserving. It belongs buried under 6 feet of dirt, and that's exactly where it needs to be. That's exactly where it's going, because this flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so ask yourself, that when these people try to tell you, oh, now if you just, when Joel Osteen and all of his cronies start telling you, you just think positive thoughts now, and all of a sudden now you're just doing positive things. You can eliminate sin out of your life by just not thinking of sin. That's what they're trying to convince you of. And it doesn't work that way. I had somebody tell me that they had heard from somebody that if a man could refrain himself from wifely impulses for like 21 days, once he made it through that, they would all go away. This guy told me that. He said, oh, yeah, I'd heard that that's true. And I went, it's not true. It doesn't work that way. If you and I could eliminate sin on our own, there would be no need for Christ and his cross. None. What is it that sins? It's my flesh. My soul, that which is born of God in me, does not sin. Does not turn away from God. But my flesh does. This flesh is spotted just like a leopard. And I can't change that. That's what he said. Where the leopard is spots, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. So right here, we get a connection between the spots of the leopard and evil deeds. So let's take that now and go through the scriptures and look and see the typology of spots, symbolism of spots. Leviticus 13:25, there's numerous places in the Bible that reiterate this. Then the priest shall look upon it. Behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned wide and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And so here we have uncleanness associated with spots. That's the priest said, I see a spot here, it's deeper than the surface of the skin, and all these diagnoses that God said to do, if you see the spot on you, it's leprosy, you're unclean. Numbers chapter 19, this is the ordinance of the law, this is verse 2, which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot. wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Over and over and over in the scriptures, when people brought in a sacrifice, God said, it's not to have a blemish, it's not to have sores on it, it's not to have a spot. The lamb that was to be brought for the sacrifice was to not have any spots on it. That means it was to be without sin. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb has prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And Christ was sinless. He was the unspotted one. So think of the contrast. You have the gentle Lamb, Jesus Christ, unspotted. You have the leopard, the vicious animal, whose nature is to do nothing but to destroy. And he's got spots all over him. See the contrast? Wow. Deuteronomy 32:5, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Crooked is the Bible way of saying twisted, like snakes, DNA. You are crooked in your flesh. Everything about you is crooked. You are a perverse and crooked. That word, this is Deuteronomy 32:5, look at it, has the word gene in it. You're a crooked generation. You have twisted DNA. All right? Their spot is corruption. All right? Now, I have a little theory here. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. I think that this spot has something to do with a mark. And there are two marks in Ezekiel chapter 9. God told the man with the writer's ink horn to go put a mark on the forehead of those who sigh and cry for the abominations of Jerusalem, and don't kill them because they're the good guys. They're mine. We have Revelation 7, Revelation 14, the seal of God in the foreheads of the 144,000. So I think this spot here mentioned in Deuteronomy 32:5 has to do with marking them. They're known by a particular mark. And so we have two different types of people. We have the corruption people, and their spot is different than the spot of God's children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So here we are, we're seeing another place in the Bible where it talks about blemishes. So study, I didn't do this in the study, but study the word blemish or blemishes in the King James Bible. Get you a cup of the software if you don't have it. King James Pure Bible Search, it's at purebiblesearch.com, or you can call us and we'll send you a disc. It'll work on Linux, Macintosh. That's a Mac for those of you who don't know that. Linux, Mac, and Windows. Works on Windows 8, great. The Android and iPad, iPhone is being worked on right now. Boy, the people want it, all right? But just study the word blemishes, and you'll see it. You'll see it. But there's a link there between the spots and the blemish. And the leopard, this beast, has got the spots of sin all over him. He's got blemishes all over him. There's nothing about him that's clean. 1 Timothy 6:14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? There it is. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious we're redeemed. Not with the corruptible things, he said, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The contrast. You're going to follow the lamb without blemish, without spot, and the shepherd that will lead you home, or the leopard. That is, he's just waiting for an opportunity to destroy you. 2 Peter 2:13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes. So study blemishes. Three times in your Bible, God links them together so far. Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. You know what that puts me in the mind of? the Promise Keepers organization. Let's get all the Christian men together with all the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Romans Catholics and all these other infidels, people who don't believe the Bible. Let's all feast together. Let's all just buddy-buddy and get along. And other organizations like that. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Spot and blame go together. Spot and evil go together. Spots and uncleanness. Spots and blemishes. Spots and perversion. Spots and unholiness. I'm just, boy, all these places in the Bible where spots are consistently linked with the man of sin. Jude 1:12. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth. You know, it says clouds they are without water. I don't remember where this verse is. Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, somewhere around in there. But it says, they that boast, I think it's Proverbs, they that boast of a false gift are those clouds without water. Think about all these churches that are boasting. Oh, we got the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we're speaking in tongues. Oh, we're rolling the floor. Oh, we're doing that. Ooh, I got a prophecy for you. Ooh, oh, praise God. Praise God. God's giving me a word right now. Clouds without water. That's what they are. It means they're no good. That means they're actually blocking the sun, blocking the light. But they're spots. These people have a spirit in them. It's a leopard spirit. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead. You know what that means? It means it can't be redeemed. God has already put them in the column of they died once, they're going to die twice. They're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Think about it. There are people in this world right now who are already headed to the lake of fire. They are never going to be redeemed. I don't want to be that person. Amen. One more verse. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There it is. Spotted by the flesh. I hate this garment. Not so much the shirt that I'm wearing. It says Bethel Church, Prophetic Reference Ministry, King James. I hate this flesh. It has spots, and I can't change the spots. I can't stop sinning. I can't stop lusting. I can't stop seeing things. I can't stop thinking, boy, I'm better than they are. I don't have all the tattoos and the piercings and all the, I got my hair combed right. Listen, I do it and so do you. We're so full of pride. It's our flesh. We can't change the flesh. That's why it has to be killed, mortified, therefore the members of your body. But anyway, that's the leopard. Oh, I got one more. Almost missed this one. Pure religion, James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what that means? Don't take the mark. Don't do it. Don't let the sins of this world spot you so that you have the spirit of the Antichrist, that leopard in you. Because once you do that, there's no turning back. Did you get that? All you guys out there say, well, I believe you can take the mark and still have eternal security and your salvation. You take the mark and me still go to heaven. Huh? Did you get that? It's not true. Don't anybody tell you that. And there are people who say that, who believe that. Lord bless you. Big study here. Study blemishes in the Bible. I haven't done that yet. I think I will. Study blemishes in the Bible. Let God give you some good stuff. Get a copy of the software. And remember, I am going to say things that are not right. I promise you I will. I'm telling you to watch out for them. Okay? And call me out on them if you feel led to. Call me out on them. Okay? And if I know that I'm wrong, I'll apologize. get a copy of the software or just open up your Bible. That's what's right 100% of the time. And I'm not that. I promise you I'm not. So anyway, God bless you. I love you. We will see you later, alligator. Bye-bye.